Hear now a reading of the gospel from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 from the Message translation. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip, it that being the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investments. His master commended him, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant with the $2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment. His master commended him, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant given $1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demanded the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. "That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I could have earned a little interest. Take the thousand and give it to the one who risked the most." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in praying together our opening prayer? Lord, sometimes we are weighed down with fears and worries that stifle our potential. Help us this day to trust you more and to find freedom from our fears so that we can take the next step in faith. Teach us how to grow. Multiply what you've entrusted to us. We might spread your goodness far and wide. Have you ever been put in a position that you didn't feel prepared for? Unsure of yourself, why were you entrusted with that level of responsibility? A friend of mine told me a story about an experience she had serving as an intern in a church during seminary. Still learning what it meant to lead and figuring out what her voice and her authority might be in certain situations. She went on a women's retreat with the church, not fully in charge, but not just a participant either, kind of an in-between space. Before everything officially started, her mentor asked her to hold a boundary. There was someone coming to the retreat who was struggling with alcohol. So the expectation was clear that this retreat, though others in the past had included alcohol, this retreat would not. But that first night, while people were there a day before it started setting up, some of the women started drinking anyway. My friend froze. She knew she was supposed to say that they weren't supposed to be drinking. She knew what had been asked of her, but in that moment, felt easier to stay quiet. And some of the women even said, "Don't make a big deal out of this. Let's just keep this between us. She doesn't need to know." She went along with it. Later, she told me the hardest part wasn't what they did, it was what she didn't do. She felt like she had let her mentor down, like she had let herself down. And underneath it all was this question: why was I so afraid to do the right thing when I knew exactly what it was? The truth is, it wasn't really about that one moment. It was about what fear can do to us, how it can quiet us and shrink us and hold us back, even when we know better. And if we're honest, that's not just her story. It can be ours too. We've all had moments like that, moments we wish we could do over, times we stayed quiet when we should have spoken up, times we held back when we could have stepped forward. There's lots of ways that fear can hold us back. Missed deadlines, opportunities we didn't take, relationships we didn't invest in, gifts we didn't use. Sometimes it happens enough that we start to shape our lives around it. We stop signing up, stop trying, stop risking, because fear starts whispering. What if you fail again? What if it's not enough? What if you're not good enough? What if you lose what little you have? And before we know it, our lives get smaller. We move from possibility to protection, from calling to caution. And underneath it all is often a quiet belief. There's not enough ability, not enough time, not enough resources, not enough margin. And friends, that's what we call a scarcity mindset. Jesus tells this story. This master entrusts three servants with money, $5,000, $2,000, and $1,000, each according to their ability. Two of them invest it. They risk it. They multiply it. But the third buried it. He buried it, thinking that was the right choice to make, afraid to lose even 1 cent. And when the master returns and asks, "Why did you put my money in the dirt?" he explained that he was afraid, not lazy, not careless, afraid. Afraid of the master, afraid of losing the money, afraid of getting it wrong, so he played it safe. And in so doing, he wasted what was given. Here's the tension in the story. Two servants operate from trust, and one servant operates from fear. The difference isn't how much they were given, it's how they understood the one who gave it. The third servant says, "I knew you had high standards." Another translation says, "I knew you were a harsh man." And that belief shaped everything. Because if you think that the one who is in charge is harsh, if you're afraid that whatever you do will be wrong, you protect yourself. You don't risk. You don't step out. You don't trust. And here's where we have to be careful, because this parable can get twisted. God is not a harsh master waiting to punish failure. That's not the full witness of Scripture. When we read across the story of Scripture, we see a God who creates, provides, forgives, restores, a God who shows up again and again with grace, unlike this master who's given this 5,000, 2,000, and 1,000. So what if the issue isn't the amount, and it's not even the outcome? What if the issue is trust? Every single one of us has been entrusted with something. Our time, our abilities, our resources, our relationships, and opportunities. And it's so easy to compare. Well, they have more, they're more talented, they've got more resources, but notice the master responds to faithfulness, not comparison. The first two servants hear the exact same words, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You can be my partner now." Same affirmation, different amounts, because it was never about the amount. Scarcity says, "I have to protect what I have." Abundance says, "I can trust that what I've been given is enough to begin." Scarcity shrinks your life, and abundance expands it. And this is where Wesley is helpful. John Wesley said, gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. But not for self-protection, not for the sake of others, for the sake of love, for the sake of impact. Because Jesus doesn't leave this abstract. Just a few verses later in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we find out what kind of investment God cares about. Feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting the imprisoned. That's the return God is looking for. Not accumulation, but transformation. So here's the question. What has God trusted you with? And what are you doing with it? Are you using it? Or are you burying it? Not because you don't care, but because you're afraid. Afraid it's not enough. Afraid it won't make a real impact. Afraid it won't matter. What would it look like to take one step forward in trust? Maybe it's saying yes to something you've been avoiding, re-engaging a gift you've put on the shelf, showing up for someone in a new way, giving generously when it feels uncomfortable. Just one step. And let's name something, honestly. For some people, this isn't theoretical. There really isn't enough. Not enough money, not enough food, not enough stability. So is this message only for people who already have plenty? No. Because God, being a part of God's family, God's community, is being a part of God's abundance. It's the way that we show up for each other. It's the way that we make sure that everyone has enough. It's the way the body of Christ works together so that no one is alone. Sometimes the most faithful step isn't giving. Sometimes it's asking for help. And sometimes the most faithful step is responding when someone else asks. That's abundance too. This isn't just personal, it's communal. Churches do this too. We play it safe. We protect what we have. We're worried that what we have may run out. We focus on survival instincts instead of mission. But what if we didn't? What would we do if we couldn't fail? What problem in our community could we address in a different way than we are now? What could we do with what we already have? Because we've been trusted with something. Fear buries gifts. Trust multiplies them. And the good news is this: God has entrusted us with something. Not because we're perfect, but we are pretty great. Not because we're perfect, not because we won't fail, but because God believes something can grow through us. So we can't bury it. We have to use it. We must take risks so that we can share what we have, because we are not meant to protect it. We're meant to share it and multiply it. We are created to live into abundance. Amen. As we enter into time of prayer this morning, I want to lift up a few people. Sharon and Everett are going to be out for the month of May. They're taking a trip up to New York to visit family and to attend the annual conference up there. So if they're not around, nothing tragic has happened except for they're visiting up in New York. Herc let me know this morning that Dan Abbott called the ambulance and is in the hospital. So that's what we know. We don't know a lot else. He was having some chest pains, and so we will be praying for him this morning. And I want to share a little bit of a joy. Some months ago, we got a letter in the mail from someone who was incarcerated. His name is Larry. And I asked Barbara if she would become his pen pal. And they wrote back and forth, and Barbara had the opportunity to share with him about faith and about trust and about making the right choices. And a few times she also sent him copies of my sermons. And so he would take them and share them with about five guys that were there in prison with him, in jail with him. And so our church was reaching into the jail and reaching people that needed to hear about hope and about grace and about mercy. So I just wanted to share that news with you. And now Larry is out of jail. And if you've ever known anyone who's come out of jail, that's not an easy place to be. You don't have any resources, any place to go. If you don't have a support system, it's really, really easy to end up back in jail. So we are praying for Larry that he is in the right places, connecting with the right people, and finding the right resources so that he can keep on the right track. Yes. So here, Larry has some needs, a bike. I'll get in touch with you about the bike because Potter's House does bikes for those who are in need for free. So we can connect for a resource like that. And he's looking for work. So we'll just pray that he finds the right work. And it's like one step at a time. They released him from jail with no shoes, and had to walk all the way. So Melissa went up to the clothing locker and got him some things from up there, so there are ways that we can support him. And you know, that's how hard it is to be in jail and then to get out of jail with no shoes and have nowhere to go. Let us join our hearts together in prayer this morning. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the simple things we don't always notice. Like the shoes on our feet, like food on the table, breath in our lungs, the people we love, the choices we get to make. And we thank you for trusting us, for giving us gifts and opportunities and the chance to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Sometimes that feels like a lot, so help us not to shrink back in fear. Help us to live fully, to use what we've been given, and to trust you as we do. God, help us follow Jesus in real, everyday ways, to share what we have, to love people that others overlook, to do good even when it's hard or it doesn't get noticed. Give us the courage to take those kinds of risks, not for our sake, but so more love and more goodness can grow in this world. We pray for this church, that it would be a place where people discover who they are, what they've been given, and how they can use it to make a difference. And God, we pray for those who are struggling, those we've lifted up already, those who are resting in our hearts, those who are worn down, those who are hurting, those who feel like they don't have enough strength, enough hope, enough support. Lord, be close to them. And where we can help, show us how to show up for each other. Keep shaping us into people who walk in your way, the way Jesus showed us, as we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you, to to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In His name we pray.